Yes, we are. Kathy and Judy here.
We talked quite a bit this week.
Thanks. We did. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning. I imagine some of you are just home from or getting ready for a vacation. And curiously enough, each Saturday morning, usually before the show, we go into the studio and record a promo for the next week's show. And last week, we recorded a promo. You've probably heard it during the week about when your vacation got canceled or when your vacation fell apart.
Have you ever had that happen?
Yes, I have. I'll tell you my story. But curiously enough, on Thursday, Spike posted on Facebook, here's a throwback Thursday I would rather forget. 11 years ago today, I got a call in the middle of the night while on vacation that my house had burned to the ground.
Right. Not good. He was going to Alaska.
He was in Alaska. He was on a cruise.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that they wound up, did they get a helicopter out or something? I can't remember. But they came back and to a house that was basically gone. And a dog. They lost a dog. And so that's the way extreme way to have your vacation messed up. Mine was, I had planned to go on a vacation with a girlfriend, and we were going to meet in LA and drive up the Highway 101 or 1 or whatever it is along the coast. And mm-hmm. we had 5 or 6 days planned. And she called me the day before. She's an entertainer. She said, I got a gig. I got to take it. I don't have any money. And so I thought, well, I've got all these reservations. I'll go by myself. And there was a good side and a bad side to it. The good side was that I probably would have driven her crazy pulling
Why?
Over to take pictures all the time.
Oh.
'Cause it's such a beautiful drive. And I would come around a curve and go, and pull over and get out and take pictures. And the bad side was that after 4.5 or 5 days, I was really tired of my own company. So rather than spend the last 2 days in San Francisco as originally planned, I pulled the rental car into the rental place and went to the airport and said, how can I get out of here sooner? So mm-hmm. it was still a nice vacation, but it was odd.
I have a question.
Okay.
I just
yes,
my
yes,
hand.
Ms. Markey. And you jump in, you guys, 312-981-7200. What was your vacation story of the vacation that, for whatever reason, just got blown out of the water? Yes.
My question is, when that happened,
mm-hmm.
did she offer, because you were taking hotel rooms, they must have been planned,
mm-hmm.
did she offer to help you pay for the hotel rooms that you were normally going to split?
No, she did not.
Were you mad about that at the time?
I was a little bit mad about it at the time.
You probably told me about that then. but I mean, I remember, I know who this was, and I remember when it happened, and I just think that's the least you can do for putting somebody out.
Right.
A token thing if she couldn't afford to do, you know, the,
right, just something. Can I give you a little something?
But right.
Yeah, 312-981-7200 is our number. If you can call us or you can text us and tell us about the vacation you had that totally got messed up. And one of our texters said, didn't Kathy talk about this trip alone in California a couple weeks ago? And it did come up. I can't remember in what context. But it
happened ages ago.
Yeah, I want to say 15 years ago, something like that. Maybe more than that. So we're interested in hearing about your vacation plans that got messed up. Certainly not as horrible as the family that lost a child at Disney World. But this just happened to me last week, says 630. 2 days before vacation was set to start, my dog needed emergency surgery. So luckily, my parents took the kids on vacation without me, and I stayed home to take care of the dog. I was a wreck the first couple of days, feeling so guilty not being there, but guilty leaving the dog. Plus, PMS. It was just crazy.
I'm sure they had a better time with the grandparents.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had a better time with the grandparents.
Well, they must have driven because the grant, you can't switch names on a airline reservation.
No, you can't.
So there had to be a drive that was involved. This is Mary Ellen. What's your messed up vacation story?
Well, it's several years ago, and another couple and my husband and I had planned to go to Vegas for 5 days. And the highlight of the trip was to see Celine Dion. She's on my bucket list. And 5 days before we left, my husband had a heart attack.
How inconsiderate.
That's just like him.
I know. I know. And then I had to get on eBay. You know how expensive those tickets are.
All right.
So I had to jump on eBay and sell my Celine Dion tickets, which I really, they snapped them right off.
I'll bet you, yeah.
No problem. Yeah. But in October, we're trying it again. The same couple.
How's he feeling?
Four of us.
How's your husband?
How's he feeling, your husband?
Well, you know, over the years, he's had like 6 heart attacks, and that's not exaggerating.
Oh, how can a person do that?
Well, you know, he's a diabetic, so a lot of times he has a heart attack, and he doesn't even know he's having one.
Wow.
Anyway,
has he ever had a heart attack during sex, Mary Ellen?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's our favorite story.
That's incredible.
I'm not that exciting.
Yeah, we talked to a woman once whose husband had twice had heart attacks during sex. So,
really?
Yeah, she must have been something else, right?
Yeah.
So when are you planning to go again? October?
We're going in October. I've got my Celine Dion tickets.
Okay.
And I told him, if something happens this time, I'm going without you.
Hey, Mary Ellen, what do Celine Dion tickets cost?
Well, you know, we're paying, because we're down on the first floor, right behind the orchestra seats, we're paying $500 a piece.
Wow.
Wow, you could
like
go to Hamilton for that.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, it's on my bucket list. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing for me, and I'm determined to do it.
Before you
what
go, Mary Ellen,
so much?
One of our, I'm assuming it's a guy friend from the 217 area code, says, I'd fake a heart attack, too, to avoid seeing Celine Dion. Mary Ellen, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is Donna. Hi, Donna.
Hi, girls. It's great to hear you again.
Well, thanks.
I'll talk as fast as I can. Starting in 13, we wanted to go. My husband and I want to go away for the holidays because my mom died, you know. So
we didn't, but we're sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
But 13 was great. We went to Disney World. We booked a cruise for 14th holidays. It was on Oceania and Cruise Line, 22 days down to Miami through the Amazon. I was pretty much all packed, and I don't remember. It was 4 days ahead of time. The ship on its previous cruise, they got a fire in the engine room in St. Lucia. And it was in Insignia. It was on the news and everything. So obviously, they said our trip was canceled. In fact, the next trip was partially canceled, too. It was a six-month cruise.
Okay, but it wasn't a situation where you lost your money. It was their fault, right?
Well, let's just say it was their fault. I didn't know this had to be about losing money. I'm sorry.
And no, then, it doesn't have to be about losing money.
No,
we like details.
Let's put it this way. It was a little battle, but I won.
Okay.
They did give me back most of my money, and I ended up getting it all.
And
but
did you go on the trip ever?
You never retook it?
We just got back a few weeks ago. They gave 25% off, and we were just from Barcelona to London. So that was, for that trip. They said any trip in 15 or 60. So we chose that. Last year, we were booked to go to Antarctica with A&K.
Who's that?
Abercrombie and Kent.
Right. About 4 weeks ahead of time, my travel advisor calls and said, you're not going to believe this, but they've canceled your trip because the ship they lease, Le Boreal, just had an engine fire near the Falkland Islands.
You should let everybody know what
what
trips you're booking. So
I know. Oh, don't book this lady. You know.
So Donna, did you ever get to the Amazon or to Antarctica?
The Antarctica is rebooked this Christmas.
Okay,
so we're
going
to do.
You guys are
that.
Big travelers.
Never got to the Amazon yet? But
did you say Donna? Did you say the Amazon was a 6-month trip?
No. The trip after ours also got partially canceled.
Who sits on a boat for 6 months?
No.
I'm lucky I could do 20 days.
Yeah. Even round the world cruises are like a month.
So, you know, they kid me all the time still. I'm not going to tell them you're going to book or what happened
right.
to you.
Yeah.
2 years in a row.
Oh, no, Donna's on our cruise. No, please. Not good
so anyway,
news.
That's my story.
All right. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more of your great messed up vacation stories at 312-981-7200.
We're on vacation, having lots of fun.
Who is that? Bob Ferguson?
No, but it is Connie Francis.
Oh, my gosh.
I was
going
to say something like Teresa Brewer time or something
wow.
like that.
Wow. V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N. We're talking about the ones that got messed up. Our number is 312-981-7200. Hey, Dolores, what's your story?
Yes, I'm very anxious calling you, but I'm happy you're back.
Oh, thank you. Why are you anxious? Are you scared of us?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've never called a radio station, but...
This we're glad we're here first.
Yeah, and this must be a good story, so we're eager to hear it.
Well, it's very short. And in 1967, I bought my first new car, and my girlfriend was having an argument with her boyfriend, and so we said we would go out west.
Thelma and Louise hit the road.
And but she got back with her boyfriend, and she chose to not go with me. And I said, I am going. So I went by myself.
Good for you.
I think about it today, and I think, I don't know how I got there, because I don't even know if I read a map.
So you just headed south.
I headed, well, west.
Oh, west, right. Okay.
How far did you get?
Yeah. Well, I went to Colorado and even did things that I would never do today. You know, picked up a hitchhiker and that had a 60s. Gas can. You know, he was carrying a gas can. And in those days, I just didn't think about it. You know?
Right. But was he nice?
You lived to tell the tale.
I lived to tell the tale, and I won't do it again. But
how long before you got tired of yourself?
You know, I doubt if I was gone more than a week or so.
Okay.
So I guess I could handle, but it was kind of dull, you know, going to functions at that
right.
time by myself.
Particularly
so.
when you had planned it with a companion in mind.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Dolores,
I'm
glad
so
you
happy.
Called.
I'm so happy you're back.
Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. Bye-bye.
Okay, see, now that wasn't
you.
Bad.
Yeah. Now this is Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo. What happened to your planned vacation?
Well, 2 years ago, we did our annual family vacation. My parents would get a beautiful house in New Buffalo, and my sisters and the grandkids and everybody's there. It was the first night. We've been doing this for over 20 years. And the first night there, we were all sitting down to dinner, and my dad dropped dead in front of all of us.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was horrific.
He just had a massive heart attack or a massive stroke?
My sister's a nurse. He never went without oxygen. He just was gone. The doctors couldn't explain it. He turned 75 the week before, and he was completely healthy.
He was having a good time?
He went for a walk right before dinner. He had his cocktail. He was happy. It was a perfect day.
God, where do I sign up for that end?
Do you want everybody watching?
I don't care. I just want to go for a walk and then sit down with people I love and croak.
Exactly. It was beautiful for him. It was tragic for us.
Oh, I can imagine. So did you all stay up there, or did you...
My mom wanted us all to stay together, so we stayed there for the week, and then we came home and made the arrangements. Next week we're going back.
Well, wait a minute. What did you do with Dad in the meantime?
Friends of ours own funeral homes in Frankfurt, and they came. They took care of my dad. They took care of him. And they kept him, and then the next week we went and had funeral. And,
oh, my gosh.
You know, the 14th of July was the day it happened, and we're going back. We go back. We went last year. My mom wants to go back.
How's your mom feeling?
Well, you know, she turned 80. We always thought she'd go first, to be honest.
Right.
She's the one with all the ailments, but the husband seems
wow. You win so far, Mary Jo.
But your vacation didn't get canceled. It just got radically altered.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
We were just all walking around in a pub. All the grandkids were there. It was, and they had just celebrated their 50th anniversary, too.
Oh, so man.
She never knew life without him. Yeah, she never knew life without him. And she's still, you know, she's dealing with it, but we're a very close family.
Uh-huh. Wow. All right, Mary Jo, thanks for the call.
Thank you, girls. Have a good day.
Okay. This is Anne. Hey, Anne, what happened to your vacation?
Well, this happened quite a while ago, but I'll tell you about it. was when I was in high school. It was going to be a high school trip with my girlfriend and her mom, and my mom and myself. And I came down with an emergency appendectomy.
Oh,
wow.
Arguing with my mom in the operating room that I didn't want to have the surgery, and the doctor said, came in and said, you're either going to have it or your appendix is going to burst. Well,
oh, hon, turn off your radio.
Ann, can you turn off your radio? Because if it's not distracting you, it's sure distracting us.
Okay, I can't, but I'll walk to another room.
Okay, that would be good.
So anyway, the doctor said you're going into surgery whether you want it or not because you're going to have a burst appendix and you could die. And I thought, oh, good.
Well, so much for that vacation.
Yep. So I spent the week that we were going to spend on vacation in the hospital.
And now you got a big old scar so you can't wear a bikini.
You're right.
Okay.
Other than that, you'd be fine.
Today they don't do them that much. I mean, the scars aren't as noticeable. But
right. Yeah.
Back in my day, it's bad.
There you go.
That was.
Did you ever wear a bikini?
Sticking to it.
Did you ever wear a bikini?
Never.
Even before you had a scar.
Okay.
Even before I had a scar, I was never that. I was always self-conscious.
Not that bikini ready.
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Thanks, Ann.
That's
appreciate the call.
I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Girls.
Did
Bye-bye.
You ever wear one, Kev?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Actually, it was somewhere between a two-piece and a bikini, but I found a picture of myself, and I think I've mentioned this somewhat recently, and I thought, you weren't fat. I'm sure I thought I was fat. I was lovely. Whatever.
We're going to talk about a fallen tree in your yard. Now, explain, Bob, what the connection is. Or I just don't understand.
This
the word.
Our friends from up north, Rush, and
yes.
The tree.
Yes.
So some trees.
Okay.
Did you ever have to memorize that poem? I think
I shall never see
a poem as lovely as a tree.
A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts its leafy arms to pray.
Wordsworth?
I have no idea, and I don't know where I pulled that out of.
We know where you pulled
but
that
I have
out
a
of.
Pretty good idea. Wow.
So here's a quandary that was addressed in an ethics column. And I will tell you at the end of listening to what you guys think, what the ethicist felt was the right thing. But here's the quandary. When there's a windstorm and a huge in your neighbor's yard and a huge limb falls from the tree into your yard, who should pay for it?
Who should pay for the cleanup?
The cleanup. Or if the whole tree falls and breaks the fence, who is the person that pays?
I would think the person on whose property the tree resides.
Would you now?
I would, but I'm not the ethicist.
There are rules about all of this that when
ethical rules or legal rules?
Actually, legal rules.
Okay.
And more importantly, insurance company rules.
Oh, 312-981-7200. Call us if you have some personal experience.
Your neighbor's tree falls down, either a limb or the whole darn thing.
Okay. Into your yard.
Into your yard. And what are you responsible for cleaning up? Leave the fence out, because I don't know the ethical answer to that.
About the fence.
Right.
So I'm figuring the scenario now. You're standing in your yard looking at this giant tree and all the bark and stuff all over your lawn and branches, and your neighbor comes over and says, wow, that's quite a mess to clean up, isn't it? Or, wow, who are you going to get to move that out of there?
Well, there are nuances about this that were surprising because it seems clear cut, but let's talk to Janice. Could we get her up, Joey?
Hey, Janice, are you there? Wait a minute. Janice, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Hi. Okay. Tree Responsibility by Janice.
Okay. We had an enormous tree fall in the middle of a winter storm. It fell between the two houses, right smack between them, just missed both of them.
Uh-huh.
It was questionable. They didn't know if it was our tree and or their tree. It was straddling the fence.
So the roots were in both sides of the property line.
That's right. And okay. Our insurance company said technically that the neighbors were responsible for cleaning it up because it fell in their yard. But in order to get the tree removed, we had to have, we agreed to get the rest of the tree taken down, which was mostly at that point on our side. So we had tree removal come, and they had to remove the neighbor's fence to get at it and remove their bushes. It was just a mess.
So what is the relationship with your neighbors? I mean, did this get testy?
Oh, no, not at all. They were very agreeable. The only way they could get at that tree to remove it was to take their bushes out and part of their fence and replace that. So our insurance company paid for that part, but they had to pay for the tree removal part.
Because it fell on their property?
Because it fell on their property.
Right, and 630 backs that up, says legally it is the responsibility of the person in whose yard the tree fell.
That's not always true. I'll tell you. Let's continue to talk about it, but I'll tell you what the ethicist said.
Thanks, Janice.
Janice, thanks a lot.
This is Carol. You're in the middle of cleaning up a tree right now or not?
No, when I owned a home, we had a tree limb, the whole side of one split trunk tree fall down, and the only reason we had them, our insurance company actually paid our neighbors and us and paid to have the tree removed was because it hit an insured piece of property. Now, if it just falls in your yard, you're responsible for it.
What did it hit? I mean, did it hit a glass bench or something?
No, ours hit. It hit their roof, and then it rolled over and back on our roof because it was like the whole side of one tree that came down. But lightning hit it. But if it falls just on the property, your insurance doesn't pay for it.
Wow.
You're responsible.
If it falls on your property, you're saying in this case, because it was lightning.
Uh-huh.
Tell me again who paid.
It hit a building. It hit two
the
homes.
Roof.
Those are insured, but your property's not insured. Your property is extra value.
Wait. When you buy home insurance, are you saying that your property itself is not insured?
Correct.
Your yard is not insured when you
buy? Correct.
Really?
Can you buy yard insurance?
Maybe some kind of an addendum or something that you can get. I don't know. But unless it hits an insured part of, something on your property, like maybe a car or something like that, and then I don't know what insurance.
Well, let's get an insurance person to call us.
That'll be hard. That'll be really hard.
That's a good idea. You girls are always thinking.
What do you mean?
I'm sure 9,000 insurance guys are going to call
us. Oh, okay, right, because we're sitting here in the Allstate Showcase studio, so somebody give us a call.
Yeah, somebody from Allstate.
Carol, that's an interesting aspect of insurance that I had never thought of.
Yeah, we were lucky because this was many years ago already, and when they came out the next day because they were afraid it was a split trunk tree.
Uh-huh.
They were afraid the other side was going to damage more property. So they came out the next day, and at that time it was $2,300 to take the tree down.
Yikes. Yikes.
They're expensive little guys, aren't they?
Yeah.
Even
right.
When they're little.
You know, if I'm not crawling up there.
Yeah.
Smart
girl. Yeah, I don't get up on a stepladder anymore. Carol,
yeah,
thanks
like
for the call.
You have to have a little bit of crazy up there.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wonder if there's a billion of these rules, because the ethicists say and said if the tree, like maybe you live next to somebody and their tree's in bad health,
yes,
and they're kind of not taking care of it,
uh-huh,
then that person has to pay. The person whose tree falls, if they haven't kept the tree healthy.
Oh, if it can be
but
shown.
But if it's in good health.
Okay. And
you,
just gets struck by lightning or something like that.
You have to pay
for it. Oh, wow. So that's the legal rules, not the ethical position.
That's the legal rules that we're...
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, give us a call if you've been involved in having somebody else's tree fall on your house or your yard. 312-981-7200.
Fallen. We're talking about fallen. But we're talking about falling trees. And if your neighbor's tree falls in your yard, what the rules and ethics and regulations might be for that. And this is Teresa, who's got a problem with a rot or knows about the rotting versus the good tree. Hi.
Hi. Good to talk to you, girls.
Thanks.
We lived in Ohio for 4 years, and we're back here again. But while we were there, there was a bunch of oak trees, and the people next door to us had this beautiful tree that was struck by lightning, and it fell into our yard. I mean, it was huge. Anyway, it fell in, and we thought that they would automatically take care of it. Insurance company says, no, the tree was in good condition when it was struck by lightning. So they were not responsible. If it would have been a rotting tree, they would have been responsible for it.
That's what Judy
what
just
I'm
said,
saying.
If it was a
know,
tree in bad
condition. I just heard you say that while I was waiting online. And that's exactly, and I don't know if it's state by state, it's different to the insurance companies, but I just thought that was interesting. So we were stuck with this humongous bill to get that all taken care of.
Yikes.
You know, that seems so unjust. It seems like the best thing to do would be to split it. Just a neighborly thing to do would be to split it. And it costs
And that's how I feel.
A
I feel
fortune.
If our tree would have fallen to theirs, I would have felt somewhat responsible because of the fact
of
it was
course.
Our tree. But it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
So you get to pay to be a victim. Well, of course, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back in Illinois. What can I say?
We're glad you're back, Teresa. Thanks. This on the text line. Our tree fell on a neighbor's car, and their insurance paid since it fell in their driveway, even though it was our tree. Great neighbors. We paid for the fence that was taken out, and their insurance paid for the car and cleanup. Our insurance told us it was not our responsibility.
Wow.
Wow. This is David. Hi, David.
Hi. Years ago, I had a tree in the corner of my backyard, and there's a telephone line back there. It ran to my house and my neighbor's house, and I had a big branch that fell into onto the telephone line on their property, and it damaged some of their siding. And I called my insurance company, and he told me that all I was responsible for was cleaning up the tree, and I wasn't responsible for damage to their house.
Okay, now,
because they should be insured.
Well, I don't know what the rule is on that, but that's what he told me. He said, you don't have to worry. They can't sue you because all you have to do is just clean up the tree branch, and that's all you're responsible for.
Okay, what's the relationship between you and that neighbor now?
Well, they got foreclosed on because they were crack addicts and got ran out of their
How's that neighborhood working out, David?
Well, since they're gone, believe me, it's a lot better.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
Okay, and this is Mary just went away, and this is Ed.
Hi, Ed.
10 years ago, I bought the house next door to me. I owned it 12 days, and a big windstorm came along and dumped a big linden tree that was in the backyard, dumped it on the house, took down the telephone wires, the power wires, smashed the air conditioner, the gas grill, three sections of the fence. And when I went to turn in the bill, Allstate had me itemize the bill because they would only pay for getting the tree off the house, and they paid for the gas grill and all that kind of stuff, but they would not pay for the part of the tree that fell in the yard to cut what was left of the tree down and haul all that away. So the bill had to be broken apart and itemized, and they specifically only paid the portion of it that get the tree off of the house. The backyard stuff was mine.
That's what
we just heard.
And it's sort of shocking that your yard, when you insure your house, your yard is not insured. And we haven't, oddly.
It's the structure.
Right. And oddly, we haven't had an insurance person call us. And do you get yard insurance? I don't know. Did you ask at the time?
Well, no, I just, I was so worried about that somebody was trying to send me the message that I shouldn't be a landlord, that I didn't.
The universe was trying to send you a message.
Yes, I did not received well either.
Okay.
there was no, they were very matter of fact about it. Said, no, we'll pay to get it off the house, but the part of it's in the backyard. That's your problem.
Well, I guess that's in all of our contracts, but we just didn't know it.
Yeah. Ed, thanks.
So, wait
okay.
a minute, Kathy.
Pardon?
We've kind of become educational.
I know. Oh, I'm very alarmed.
I know.
This is Marie. Hey, Marie.
Hi, Kathy and Judy. How are you?
All right.
Good. We have a big lot, and we're in the suburbs, and we've had both of those things happen to us where our tree in a storm fell on our neighbor's house, and we have State Farm insurance. We have a $1,000 deductible for anything that would happen. We have to pay, you know, the rest of it. But it wasn't that much for us to get the tree taken down. We helped our neighbor. He said, just come over, help me cut the tree down, everything. There was no damage to his roof, luckily, you know, and everything was fine. But then we had another situation where the neighbor behind us had a tree that was actually dead and dying, and we had Davey out here to do some of our tree work, and he looked at it and said, you know, that thing's going to fall, and it's going to fall this way into your yard. And we have like a 9-foot wood stockade fence all around our whole property. I have cement angels, garden angels that are like $700-$800, you know, in the big pots and all that stuff. So because I'm into the gardening, Kathy, like, and you know, we were like concerned, so called State Farm, called our agent, and he said, okay, this is how it works. Your fence will be covered because it is connected to your house. It comes up and butts up against your house, and it's connected. But anything that's in that backyard, those pots, any of the huge bushes that you've had there for years and years and been nursing and taking care of, and all of your landscaping that you've been keeping such good care of, and those angels, if the tree falls on them, and you're out of luck.
Did you ask if you could get additional coverage to cover that?
I didn't, Kathy, but, you know, he didn't offer it, and I think he's been with us so long that if there would have been that,
sure,
he would have offered
to make
it,
a sale. Sure.
I would think so.
So but, did you go to your neighbor and ask them if they could take their tree down?
Well, here's the thing. We had the same kind of thing that the other guy had, only they weren't crackheads. The house was in foreclosure back there, and it was huge, huge acreage and everything. And we had to call the bank, and the bank actually said they would come out. So we thought, oh, great.
Whose bank? The foreclosure bank.
The foreclosure, yeah. We contacted them, and they did come out. And then I called back, and they said, well, you know, we don't really think that there's an issue there. So I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, and here, Davy Tree, you know, was like, you know, there's an issue. And we could tell, you know, it was dead and it was going to fall this way. But so someone bought this house, and we went over and kindly said to them, do you know this tree in the back is dead? And we're really concerned because we have a lot of stuff in our backyard. That tree was down within 2 weeks.
Wow.
Great neighbors.
Yeah.
And the bank never told them that the tree was dead, and they should have taken it down.
Don't worry, they can't sue you because all you have to do is just clean up the tree branch, and that's all you're responsible for.
Okay, what's the relationship between you and that neighbor now?
Well, they got foreclosed on because they were crack addicts. They got ran out of their
How's that neighborhood working out, David?
Well, since they're gone, believe me, it's a lot better.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
Okay, and this is Mary just went away, and this is Ed.
Wait, okay.
Hi, Ed. 10 years ago, I bought the house next door to me. I owned it 12 days, and a big windstorm came along and dumped a big linden tree that was in the backyard, dumped it on the house, took down the telephone wires, the power wires, smashed the air conditioner, the gas grill, three sections of the fence. And when I went to turn in the bill, Allstate had me itemize the bill because they would only pay for getting the tree off the house. And they paid for the gas grill and all that kind of stuff, but they would not pay for the part of the tree that fell in the yard to cut what was left of the tree down and haul all that away. So the bill had to be broken apart and itemized, and they specifically only paid the portion of it that get the tree off of the house. The backyard stuff was mine.
That's what
we just heard.
And it's sort of shocking that your yard, when you insure your house, your yard is not insured, and we haven't, oddly.
It's the structure.
Right, and oddly, we haven't had an insurance person call us, and do you get yard insurance? I don't know. Did you ask at the time?
Well, no, I just, you know, I was so worried about that somebody was trying to send me the message that I shouldn't be a landlord, that I didn't.
The universe was trying to send you a message.
Yes, I did not receive well either.
Okay.
There was no, you know, they were very matter of fact about it. Said, no, we'll pay to get it off the house. But the part of it's in the backyard. That's your problem.
Well, I guess wow. that's in all of our contracts, wow. but we just didn't know it.
Yeah. Ed, thanks.
So, wait okay. a minute, Kathy.
Pardon?
We've kind of become educational.
Here. I know. Oh, I'm very alarmed.
I know.
This is Marie. Hey, Marie.
Hi, Kathy and Judy. How are you?
All right.
Good. We have a big lot, and we're in the suburbs, and we've had both of those things happen to us where our tree in a storm fell on our neighbor's house, and we have State Farm insurance. We have a $1,000 deductible for anything that would happen. We have to pay, you know, the rest of it. But it wasn't that much for us to get the tree taken down. We helped our neighbor. He said, just come over, help me cut the tree down, everything. There was no damage to his roof, luckily, you know, and everything was fine. But then we had another situation where the neighbor behind us had a tree that was actually dead and dying, and we had Davey out here to do some of our tree work, and he looked at it and said, you know, that thing's going to fall, and it's going to fall this way into your yard. And we have like a 9-foot wood stockade fence all around our whole property. I have cement angels, garden angels that are like $700-$800, you know, in the big pots and all that stuff. So because I'm into the gardening. And, you know, we were, like, concerned. So called State Farm, called our agent, and he said, okay, this is how it works. Your fence will be covered because it is connected to your house. It comes up and butts up against your house, and it's connected. But anything that's in that backyard, those pots, any of the huge bushes that you've had there for years and years and been nursing and taking care of, and all of your landscaping that you've been keeping such good care of, and those angels, if the tree falls on them, and you're out of luck.
Did you ask if you could get additional coverage to cover that?
I didn't, Kathy, but, you know, he didn't offer it, and I think he's been with us so long that if there would have been that,
sure,
he would have
to make
it,
a sale. Sure.
I would think so.
So did you go to your neighbor and ask them if they could take their tree down?
Well, here's the thing. We had the same kind of thing that the other guy had, only they weren't crackheads. The house was in foreclosure back there, and it was huge, huge acreage and everything. And we had to call the bank, and the bank actually said they would come out. So we thought, oh, great.
Whose bank? The foreclosure bank.
The foreclosure, yeah. We contacted them, and they did come out. And then I called back, and they said, well, you know, we don't really think that there's an issue there. So I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, and here, Davey Tree, you know, was like, you know, there was an issue. And we could tell, you know, it was dead and it was going to fall this way. But so someone bought this house, and we went over and kindly said to them, do you know this tree in the back is dead? And we're really concerned because we have a lot of stuff in our backyard. That tree was down within 2 weeks.
Wow.
Great neighbors.
Yeah.
And the bank never told them that the tree was dead. And they should have taken it down, the bank, but they didn't. So anyway. Just,
wow.
Yeah, they passed it on to their buyer.
Yeah, but I thought the fence thing was really interesting because if your fence, I guess, is not connected to your house, you know,
it's not covered.
Yeah,
and I think
right.
usually they're not.
Yeah, but if it's connected,
you know, they
to
make
your
a
house,
U.
And the one side that we have is connected, so it depends on our other lot where we have our vegetable garden, our big garden and stuff, and another building down there. That would not be covered because that doesn't connect to the house.
Wow. Very complicated, an issue you wouldn't think about a lot.
I hope you can get an insurance guy to call you.
Yeah.
Well, the first time in my life. We've never gotten one.
Thanks, Marie.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. And this is Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hi. We have a neighbor that we do not get along with at all. And a couple of years ago, we had a really bad storm, and his tree in his front yard fell over our driveway into our front yard. And we had a tree that also fell in the backyard that fell inside our family room. And I went over and knocked on his door, and I said, hey, your tree is laying in our yard and everything, and what are you going to do about getting it all cleaned up? And he just looked out his door, and he went, oh, wow, you got a mess to clean up, don't you? And slammed the door.
Wow.
Yeah. So when we talked to the tree repair guy, he just said, yeah, you know, do you not get along? And we're like, no. And he goes, is it really worth it? And we said, no. And still to this day, we do not have any communication with the guy whatsoever.
And he's your next door neighbor.
It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Pam, thanks for the call.
And
apparently, as big a jerk as he was, he's right. If it falls on your property, it's your problem, right? That's what we've discovered. So he was a bad neighbor, but he was also within his legal limits. Yeah. Let me give you some background on this story. My mom, rest her soul, loved her Swiffer. And my mom would all, practically every time I saw her, do you have a Swiffer? Do you have a Swiffer? And I said, no, Mom, I don't. She said, you'd really love a Swiffer, because I had a lot of hardwood floors in Princeton. And I would say, oh, okay, yeah, I'll get one of these days. I never got a Swiffer. Recently, somebody was at my house, and I can't for the life of me remember who it was, and said, do you have a Swiffer? Because I have two cats. Despite the fact that I use the cat hair taker offer thing on the cats themselves, I still have cat hair. And so you get these little fluffy balls of cat hair all over the place. And this friend said, do you have a Swiffer? I said, no, I don't have a Swiffer. This week, in a box delivered to my porch, I received a mop called a Shiwala mop.
Wait, did someone surprise you?
Well, I looked and I thought, well, this looks kind of like a Swiffer. And I thought, but where did this come from? Did this come from the person who I can't remember who suggested I get a Swiffer? So I started with the usual suspects. I sent an email to my sisters and said, did one of you guys send me the Shiwala mop? It's sort of a rag mop, but it's got a spray thing where you can spray. Because I opened it and used it. I thought, well, this is nice. Somebody sent me a Shiwala mop.
Had you ever heard of it before?
I'd never heard of it before.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of it. Okay. It's probably like one of those things as seen on TV.
Uh-huh.
So I emailed my sisters and they all said, nope, didn't send you a mop. Asked my friend Anne. She said, nope, didn't send you a mop. The next day, I get a card in the mail that said, the Shiwala mop you ordered, the delivery is delayed. It probably won't be there for another week or so. Well, obviously the mop and the message crossed.
Unless you're getting another Shiwala.
I have no memory of ordering a Shiwala mop from any place.
Yeah, you'd have an email.
And
on
I can't find on my bill pay a charge for a Shiwala mop.
Well, do you have the address of where it came from?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you?
If somebody else ordered it for. Here's the question 312-981-7200. Have you ever received something that you apparently ordered but have absolutely no memory of it?
Oh, see, I think somebody gifted you.
Do you? See,
Then just call up and see who sent the flowers. You know what I mean?
Shiwala from Walling, please accept our apology for the delay in shipping your order. Would they send that to the person who ordered it or the person who was receiving it?
Receiving. Oh, yeah. See, that means you're like sitting there in anticipation at the door waiting for your Shiwala mop.
Right. But I'm just wondering if I'm the only person in this great land of ours who has ordered something. I'm going with the other possibility that I actually ordered this thing. And I have no memory of
it. Doesn't that
happen to you? And I'm hoping my children aren't listening because this is just another thing to add to the list of why we're putting mother in a home.
No. Doesn't that happen to you I order so much from Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
That when the box comes to the door.
You have no idea what it is.
It's like Santa Claus showed up. It's so great.
I wonder what I ordered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our number is 312-981-7200. I'm just interested to hear if there's anybody else. Otherwise, I'll...
You're not interested. You're desperately rooting
hoping that I'm not the only one who may have actually ordered something and completely forgotten that she ordered it.
Well, because when I look at this... This was from Facebook? Like, I just ordered a knife off of Facebook.
Okay. Was it one of those little ads that you didn't ask for? And then you went and looked and thought, oh,
But it was the biggest Kickstarter campaign of all time.
Okay.
And it looked like this magical knife. And my knives suck.
Okay.
They're just like...
Well, knives basically cut stuff, right? How can it be...
Oh, a really good knife that where it's just like a blade going through
I remember my friend Michael once bought me a ceramic knife.
Uh-huh.
But you had to be so careful of it because if you dropped it or anything, it would cut the blade. Oh. All right. This may be Donna here
to save me. This is a comrade in dementia.
This may be Donna here to save me. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Don. Hi, kids.
Kathy.
For sure, Kathy. Yeah, I don't know. Girls, I love you.
Thank you.
Same thing happened to me, though, about 10 days ago.
A Shawala mop?
Yes, I got two Shawala mops in a box, two. But I remember seeing it when I was looking at something online. I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. I do not remember ordering or anything. Then I got the mops. Then 2 days later, I got the card that said, so sorry, this yada, yada, yada.
We expect to ship your order within 30 days.
Yes.
All right. I expect maybe somebody would call and say, well, yeah, I know. I got a book I didn't order. Or I got scarves I didn't order. You got a Shawala mop.
She got two.
Yep. I got two of them.
That's crazy. Okay,
when I looked, it said, I thought, oh, my God, am I losing my mind?
Because I don't remember ordering this thing.
I don't remember. And I thought this was going to kill me. So I looked online and I thought, well, it's buy one, get one free. But I thought there's no way I would have ordered that. I have some other gadget.
I only got one. I didn't get two. Oh,
maybe that's the one that they're apologizing for.
Yeah, maybe the second one is still to come.
Maybe it's coming. But then that card came. Well, I'll tell you.
After you got the mop.
After I got the mop. So I called Shawala or whatever their names are.
Okay.
And she said, oh, okay. I said, I don't remember ordering it. She told me, oh, yeah, she sure I did. I thought, all right. She said, just send it back. All I had to do was, she gave me the address, and I haven't done it yet, and just put on the outside of the box, return the order number.
Okay, well, I didn't return it because I opened it up. I thought somebody sent it to me as a present.
I don't care. I sent it. I put it back together because I thought, actually, I thought it was kind of junky because it was kind of the plastic. And when you sprayed it, it sprayed on the mop instead of on the floor.
Oh, mine had sprayed ahead of the mop. It sprayed in front of the mop. Yeah.
That's why you only got one, because you got the good one.
I got the one with good aim. Donna, you have relieved me a great deal. Thank you.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Yeah, see, now, what are the chances that two Shawala mops would go to people who have absolutely no memory of ordering them? Sandra, what's your story?
Well, the neighbor doesn't have a computer, so she'd come down to my house and want to know if I'd look up on eBay, see if we could find any antique brass faucets for her bathroom. So I did.
Wait a minute. Brass sausage?
Faucets.
Oh, faucets. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway. that's funny. But anyway, so...
Don't crack up over it, because we've got a conversation going.
A couple, 10 days before that, I had received two battery packs for two chairs that vibrated and had heat. It quit working, and I looked it up, and sure enough, they had them, so I ordered them. They came. Now, this is 10 days before that. Somehow, on her faucet order, another one of those, or at least a battery pack from the same company, was like piggybacked on her order. 10 days later, no order for it at all. And that it did come. In fact, boy, it really came in a hurry. And that's what makes you suspicious. And it came. It wasn't even the same thing that I'd ordered before. I don't know how they did it. But
did you see a charge? See, I don't see a charge on my bill pay for it.
Oh, yeah. I had it on
you
PayPal.
You did. Okay.
How much is it?
It was only $11, thank goodness.
Wow, so for a brass sausage, that's a good price.
No, that price on the brass faucet was $100.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sandra, thanks for the call.
It was $300 at the plumber.
Holy smokes. Hokey smokes, yeah. All right, well, thank you.
I piggybacked it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, but mine wasn't piggybacked on anything.
Do you think you're the only two women that received Shawala
mops? Me and Donna.
I love this name so much, Shawala mops.
Shawala. Yeah. So, I mean, it works fine. It gets the cat hair from the hardwood floor, picks it up. But
well, so would any mop.
I know.
Mopping music.
Oh, memory. The cliff notes of the story is, I received a Shawala mop in the mail, and I have no recollection of ordering it.
Well, I had a very bad experience with a company called Zeus.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. As in the god?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, they were purveyors of rare DVDs.
And rare DVDs.
That, you know, ones that you can't normally find.
Uh-huh, okay.
And so the movie I was interested in was something that came out way back in the think it was the 60s. Mm-hmm. There's a movie starring Jimmy Rogers called The Little Shepherd of Kingdom Come.
Mm-hmm.
And so I Googled it online, and this company said they could get it to me. It was mm-hmm. only $9. Okay. So I got the DVD. I put it in my DVD player, and it said data not retrievable.
Okay.
So what does that
mean? The only way you could contact them is via email.
Okay.
So I did. They said they send me a replacement DVD. It's 2 years, and there's nothing.
And did you pay them the $9?
Yeah.
You know, if I was a criminal, I would go for more than $9.
Yeah, me too.
I should have suspected something was wrong with it when it was that inexpensive for a movie that actually is a classic.
What's the classic? The Little Shepherd of Jimmy Rogers Hill? What was it?
No. The Little Shepherd of Kingdom Come. They don't even show it on the television anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't heard of that one.
But it was a Civil War epic.
Okay. Well, sorry you didn't get it, Tom.
Well, that's okay. It had a fantastic storyline.
Okay.
You're not going to tell it to us, are you?
Who died at the end, Tom? Spoiler alert.
Actually, Chill Wills, who was the father that he was adopted through,
uh-huh.
he fought on the Confederate side. Jimmy fought on the Union side.
Oh, that's bound to cause trouble at
Thanksgiving. Chill Wills and his original father died in the same battle.
Oh. Spoiler alert.
There you go.
Okay. Or the Little Shepherd.
Thank you, Tom.
Sunset Boulevard.
Care,
okay. And quickly, this is Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hey, ladies.
Hey,
I just
Doug.
Wanted to let you know to be very careful with your debit card, because that's if you were to lose or have that stolen, that's real money out of your account, whereas the credit card is capped on how much you can be liable for if someone loses your credit card. So it's more than just getting the points. It's if you lose that debit card, they can take all your money.
Well, there's not that much in there, but yeah. Okay. Well, that just
there's a little more in there, but
just a little warning.
Yeah.
All right, Doug. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye bye.
Bye.
I'm gonna go home and mop my floor with my new Shawal mop.
You know what? I'm going to go see here.
Oh, are you?
In July, they're doing a production at Northwestern.
Ah.
And we're going with another couple. I think it'll be a blast.
I remember when I saw Hair, it was at a theater. I think it's up on Sheffield or something. Maybe it was the Athenaeum.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember at the end, it was like, oh. Oh.
Now it'll be, oh.
Yeah.
Sort of like that. Oh, another thing that I was reading is going to be up at Northwestern. This sounds like I'm doing a commercial for them, but James Croydon is going to be in something about the governors or something.
Oh, it's going to be in the theaters.
In the
theater. Right,
in
yeah.
the theater, and he's going to be live.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's a live performance?
And Benedict Cumberbatch in Hamlet.
Yeah. Those are
those movies?
No, but I'm not sure they're live.
Well,
I don't
not
know.
A movie and you're not live, what are you, a hologram? What do you mean?
No, but it can be a videotaped performance. I mean, movies aren't videotaped.
Oh, that's very technical.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Right. The reason we're playing the song from Hair is because the woman who invented the beehive hairdo died last week. Big story.
Wow. Okay.
And for those of you who are old, I didn't even know where to put the cutoff, but you still see them sometimes in movies, but or TV. But the beehive hairdo was really hard to do.
Complicated. Yes.
He had to get all the hair from, say, the right side to the left side, stick a bunch of bobby pins going up to the top of your hair.
And then,
swoop
roll it over. Right.
Roll it over.
Right.
Like with kind of a bump in it and stick it in. And it was really hard. I never, ever succeeded.
I didn't do well with it. I attempted it, but I was never that good at it.
Right. Right. But it made me think why we sometimes pick hairdos that, it's not even that they're high maintenance, but you kind of never really pull it off. That you were the hardest for you to ever master.
Mm-hmm.
And the hairdo that was the hardest for me to master was what was known at the time as the pageboy fluff.
Oh,
now did
okay.
you have that in the
I didn't have a page
Midwest?
Boy flip, but I certainly had a flip.
Okay, well, the flip wasn't easy either.
No, it wasn't.
But
it required a great deal of hairspray.
For
yes.
those listeners who are younger, this I can describe it. So your hair goes down and to, like, say, halfway to the middle of your ear. And then a ridge comes out, and another group of hair goes underneath, and it's in the shape of a backward C. So the hair all around your head is in a backward C. How does it not wind up in a forward C going on the other side? But it didn't. It probably
okay, it sounds like related to the river question. But... yes.
And I think that that was a very hard hairdo to maintain. And I never succeeded, no matter what kind of rollers I use, what kind of pin clips I use, what kind of Aquanet mm-hmm. spray I used. But I never stopped trying for 2 years.
Well, you posted a picture of you with your dad, and that kind of was the hairdo that you had in that Father's Day picture.
Yeah,
that
it was.
It posted on GN. It was full, and
yeah.
and I'm looking
and
at...
And it wasn't right.
Oh, I thought it looked cute.
Well, the hairdo look might have looked okay, but it wasn't the pageboy fluff that I wanted.
It
was more of a just a plain pageboy, like with an extra knackwurst underneath.
Okay. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number. Ruth, what hairdo was too much of a challenge for you? Ruth?
No, Ruth. Hi.
Hello, Ruth.
Hello.
What was your problem hairdo?
The flip. I could never get a flip, and I could do. Remember when? Of course, we used to all rat our hair. Let me turn my.
Well, yeah, because a flip involved a significant amount of ratting. On the
for the
on,
top part
here
yeah.
all the time, and
right.
I guess I used to rat my hair, which is basically styling your hair, and then I could spray the rats. And then spray the hair, so it was like up. And I had long hair at one time, but Marlo Thomas wears the flip in That Girl. I could never, even when I had longer hair, I could never get a flip. Is that the same thing that Judy was talking
it's
about?
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite. That goes under.
This goes under, and the flip flipped up. And Marlo Thomas did have quite the flip.
Pardon, Marlo Thomas what?
She had quite
that
the flip.
Girl, right, as
she
that had, girl.
Oh, she had a wonderful flip.
Yes.
But as long as my hair wasn't, I had thick hair, I had real hair at the time. Now I'm losing my hair. I can only wear it in a ponytail for the last 20 years. But I don't get no permanents no more. But yeah, I could do, we all used to rat our hair.
Yeah.
And put
it's
it in.
Called backcombing,
call
too.
I don't know what they used to call it, but... But for Pete's sakes, I could never do the flip.
Well, I could do it, but it involved sleeping in rollers, and all the rollers went under. But then after you ratted your hair, you took the bottom part
and
flipped it up and sprayed it hard.
You got to spray it. We used to use a ton of hairspray.
Yep, absolutely.
Aquanet was, I mean, you could invest in Aquanet.
See that hole in the ozone? That's my flip. thank you, Ruth.
I hear you.
Okay.
You girls, I love you. I stay home on Saturday to listen to you guys.
Oh, bless your
thank
heart.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you,
thank
Ruth.
You.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm. This is Corky.
Yes, this is me.
Hello,
hi.
Corky.
So hi, you are a customer of the lady who invented the beehive.
I was. I never had a beehive. I was in my... early 20s, living high on the hog, and had a good job on Saturdays, went downtown with my friends, spot-searing around, you know. I'm 84 years old now. Anyway, a friend of mine, uncle, was in the beauty supply business, and Margaret Vinci was one of his customers. So my girlfriend and I decided, well, we're going to go get our hair done at 600 North Michigan in Margaret Vinci's salon. And we did. And I'm telling you, ladies, she was such an artist. I mean, I was maybe 21, 20. She did my, just before rollers or hair dryers and stuff, you know.
Must have been pin curls, I guess.
I'll bet. Yeah.
So do you have a picture of your Margaret Held hairdo?
No, I don't. But I tell you, when I saw that she passed away at 98 years old, it just brought back so many memories. I even wrote my girlfriend, who now lives in California, the one that I used to go downtown with. But she did my hair like an artist. I remember one time, and I won't keep you long, after leaving her salon, I went on this State Street to Fields or someplace. A lady actually stopped me to ask me where I had my hair done because it was so beautiful. Don't even ask me how it looked. I don't remember.
Ha! Huh.
But she was such an artist and such a lovely person. She did my hair, not a person in her salon. She herself did my hair. It was quite a memory, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and you had a real personal connection to hearing of her death.
Yes, I did.
Right.
But it brought back memories of my youth.
I know. Corky, yeah. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Love to listen to you guys.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we're talking about the hairdos of your past that were especially
really
challenging. This is Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have two hairdos.
And two highs.
Yes.
Well, no, one was when I was a kid, the old-fashioned way to do a curl was to wrap it in a rag. And
oh, right. I remember rags. Yeah.
You wrapped it down the hair, wrapped the hair around the rag. It was torn in a special way, and then you wrapped the rag around what you put in the center. And I have naturally curly hair, so I'd get just a perfect spiral then. And my ponytail was always perfect. But she was the only one that could do it. And then I got to the beehive stage, and I had to go to the salon, and they would rat it to the height you couldn't believe, comb over it, spray it like full. And then didn't you go to bed at night with toilet paper wrapped around it?
I remember that. After
I
you
never
had,
did that.
Yeah, after you got your hair perfect so you wouldn't mess it up while you slept, right?
Then in the morning, you know, every day you didn't even do anything with it except maybe more hairspray and a little bit of comb over. And sometimes I'd wear it all week that way.
Well, you know, that's what I wondered about when, like, moms would have standing appointments. They would leave their hair the same for a whole week.
Yeah.
And that just feels itchy to talk about.
Yeah. Wouldn't wash.
If you're African American, you don't wash your hair because that oil is good for the scalp and the hair. They don't wash their hair as often as
well. It depends on their hairdo.
I'm not sure that's across the board.
If they've got braids or something like that,
right.
You can get great braids made.
Right, Pat. Thanks for that memory.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more of them after this.
Well, I paid for your beehive hairdo.
Good one, Bob Ferguson.
Bob Ferguson is a master of tying in the music to the topic. We were talking about the hairdo that was the hardest for you to maintain. And what launched the thought in my mind was the death of this woman who had invented the hairdo, the beehive hairdo, and was here from here. From Chicago, and this is Judy, who can discuss her hair disaster.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
You guys. Okay, I have two short little stories. One of them, the first one, back in the early 60s, there was a hairdo called the DA.
Yeah, I remember the DA, yes.
It's like Donald Trump has one now. It's called, it was for duck's ass.
Right.
Well, I tried and tried. If some of your listeners don't know, it was a short hairdo, and you basically brushed it all back from the sides and the back, and then when it all came into the back, you slipped it up into a DA.
Kind of a point.
Right.
Yeah. Try as I might, brain. You know, there wasn't a lot of moon. I think there was Dippity Doo at that time.
Oh, sure. Right.
Probably tried that, but was very unsuccessful. My other one is just kind of a cute little story about me wanting to emulate one of my friends in grade school. And her mother was a hairstylist. And so her hair always looked fabulous. She came to Illinois from California, and she was cute and blonde, and I wanted to kind of look like her, too. So, anyway, she always had cute hairstyles, and at our 8th grade graduation, she had her hair in a French twist with a tiara. Well,
for graduation?
Yes.
How do you wear a mortarboard with a tiara?
We didn't have mortarboard.
Oh, okay.
It was,
dress up.
Yeah, we just wore a nice dress.
Ah, okay.
I'm from the northern suburbs, so it was not a huge class, but and I still have the picture of she and I. Well, not she and I, but everyone
her
in the class.
Her and me, right.
She and I were the only ones with a tiara. Hers was beautifully coiffed with lovely curls and her tiara perfectly perched, and mine was sort of bobby pinned to the hilt. an askew tiara.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought at the time I looked really cute, but, you know, I couldn't pull it off like she could.
Well, your mother wasn't a hairstylist.
No, she wasn't. But
there you go. But you still have that picture.
I do.
Oh, that's hilarious.
8th grade graduation.
Would you share it with us, Judy?
Excuse me?
Would you send it to us through our Facebook page?
Just post it on Facebook.
I will do that.
All right. We'll watch for it. Thank you.
Actually, for all of you listeners who, with your special hairdos, and when they, on one of those days where you had your school picture taken, but the hairdo went south, send us your picture and post it on Facebook. We love to look at stuff like that. You don't have to put your name or anything like that.
My high school graduation picture was a flip. I'll have to go back and look.
Mine.
Yours was short.
Was a bubble.
Yeah, yours was a bubble. That's all right.
I thought I looked like Sandra Dee.
Well, you did a little bit.
No.
You were cute.
Well, I didn't look like Sandra Dee. Thank you for that.
Well, she had a flip.
She had a bubble haircut.
Oh, I thought Sandra Dee had a flip.
In a summer place? With a purple dress?
We'll go back and check it out.
She had a bubble cut.
This is Lenore. Hey, Lenore.
Hi.
What's your hairdo story?
You guys are just great.
Thanks.
Our hair story, I have a girlfriend. We live in Wilton, Iowa, and I try to listen to you every Saturday.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're back on the air. But in high school, and I graduated in 71, we used orange cans, orange juice cans, as rollers.
Oh, right. I kind of remember that. They were cardboard.
To straighten your hair, and it did a fabulous job. And we even slept in them.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder, well, how did they stay in your hair?
With big clips.
Bobby pins.
Clips or bobby pins, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you even buy bobby pins anymore?
Yes, you can.
You can. Do you still use bobby pins?
Sometimes.
What do you use them for? What do you do with a bobby pin?
The same thing you do with a barrette, but it doesn't show.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does, Lenore. Go back and look at the picture, right? Lenore, thanks for the call.
Okay, now don't forget.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Lenore.
Send us your pictures.
Send us your pictures of you with the hairdo that you strived for, but it just went wrong. And most frequently, it did happen in your class photo. Now, Amy Guth is coming on, but she has a hairdo story, I believe.
Let's hear.
Yeah, I have something to add to that. And that is, so I naturally have very, very like tight curls in my, like very tightly curly hair. And when I was a kid, my mom used to iron my hair.
With an iron.
With a regular old iron. Same one she'd put the spray starch.
Put your head down by the ironing
board. I was too little to reach it. So she would lay the ironing board flat on the bed and I would just lay there. She would iron my hair. It looked so bad. I mean, I kind of blow dry it now, so it's kind of in waves, but that's just so that I can throw it back or put it down, or just that's just for my own efficiency. But oh my gosh, she would brush it and then just iron it out.
Damage,
great.
Can you imagine?
Was she from the 60s?
I mean, she was alive then. She had some interesting hair then.
Yeah.
I mean, did she have straight ironed hair?
She has stick straight hair. So yeah. I think it was part of it was she didn't know how to do curly hair. She only knew how to do very straight. I'm just going to do this kind of hair because I don't. I got the curly hair from my dad. He's got really, really curly hair.
Wow.
So I don't think she knew what to do. She couldn't.
Wow.
She
and how's your mom doing?
She's okay.
Okay, good. She had surgery, didn't she?
She did. She did. So she has a big old scar across her throat now. She had a little bit of a thyroid procedure done.
Oh,
so she, I've been telling her, like, we either need to get a neck tattoo for you now or make up a story or something, you know, for that.
Right.
But she is on the mend and doing well and,
okay, good.
And hopped up full of the good drugs. So she's sending some really interesting text messages and Facebook posts right now.
Mom, cut back on the oxycodone, right?
I told my dad, like, you may want to hide the phone charger.
Yeah.
She won't even know the phone's on.
What are you doing on the business lunch?
Oh, we're going to talk about lots of good stuff, but we're definitely going to be talking about this this Led Zeppelin lawsuit and other songs that have come in under fire that sound so similar to others. And we're going to be talking about farmers markets and how they're changing. It's such a great time of year for farmers markets. I suspect there's a lot of people at farmers markets right now, but how they're changing culturally from a place where it used to be about supporting local farmers. Now it's a little more social. People are going to eat and drink.
And they're artisan markets now. They're barely
That's right.
You can't get lettuce, but you can get,
artisan
cheese.
Locally grown.
Yeah,
right, something
exactly.
Like that. So.
Well, thanks again to Bob Ferguson, our engineer and music selector, and to Joey Gelman, who was sitting in today for Kristen, to Dave Schwann, and to Susan Burkus, who's here with the
Sam?
News.
Thank you very
Sam.
Much.
Oh, Sam Penyatovich. Oh, Sam. Oh, honey. Oh, are you listening to Debbie Boone up there?
Yes.
Okay.
I love that comment,
okay.
By the way.
Sam, I'm sorry. You got to get some light on you. I can't even. There you go.
There you are.
I can't even see you up there. All right, Sam Penyatovich. Let's hear it for Sam.
Yay.
Okay. All
yeah,
right.
Thank you.
That'll make him a
be here
better.
For another 5 minutes.
Okay.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by Builder Supply Outlet. It is 12:02. Here's our good friend, Susan Burkus.